to our Mother General. And so for her to be able to see our foundress reach the stage of beatification before the end of her term would be fantastic. And I think the powers that be in Rome might recognize that. So you can continue to pray with us. I've been asked to kind of give a sense as to the format of the day before I introduce Sister Agnes. The format of the day is going to be modeled on the International Congress on Religious Formation that took place in Rome on April 8th through 11th. That experience, for those of us who were present there, was such a rich experience that we wanted to be able to give a flavor of that to everyone, both who was there to kind of recapture it, and to those who weren't, to capture it for the first time. So let me explain a bit about how today works, and it'll help you understand, or how that experience worked, and it'll help you understand how today will work. So basically, the International Congress was an initiative from the Congregation for the Institutes of Consecrated and Apostolic Life, which we affectionately refer to as Sickle Cell. It was presided over by Cardinal Diavise, the prefect, and Archbishop Carballo, who's the secretary of the congregation. They put this Congress together. They sold out within a month's time and therefore could not accommodate everyone who wanted to participate and encouraged us to bring this home then and do what we're hoping to do today. It included speakers from all around the world who were experts on formation and experts from all different contexts. We were separated according to language group. There was simultaneous translation, so the speakers themselves spoke in their native language, but we could participate through headsets in our own language with translators who were right there translating both the script that they had been pre-given, but also the anecdotes as those were happening as well. So at our table, just to give you a sense, my table was English-speaking, but it represented people from the Philippines, India, Canada, Vietnam, Mexico, Ireland, Malaysia, and New Jersey. And then there was an Ohioan and myself, a Missourian. So we were pretty well represented. The format went like this. The speaker gave input for about 45 minutes to an hour. Then we were given 3 to 5 minutes of silence where we just absorbed, brought it in, let the spirit settle into our hearts. Then we had about 15 minutes of table discussion. And at the end of each morning, end of each afternoon, we were given opportunities for open mic question response. They were careful to tell us it was not question answer. It was question response because everybody wants the answers. And if we thought we had them, we'd be in big trouble. So that's how today is going to work. We have 4 speakers who are going to speak for about 35, 40 minutes. If you see me stand up, don't be distracted. That's my signal to the speaker that it's time to wrap up. I'm trying to do that in a little bit of a gentle way. You at your table will be given 3 to 5 minutes of silence to just let it settle in. And then you'll have an opportunity with the questions on the paper to discuss those in your small group. And at the end of the day, we'll have time for open mic question response. So we're hoping to give you a taste and a flavor of the graces that came to us through our experiences this past spring. Does that make sense? Okay. So, without further ado, let me introduce Sister Agnes Mary, who I believe is speaking from the fruits of this CMSWR symposium on formation, correct?
Kind of.
Sister Agnes Mary is a member of the Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal. She has been a member of this community for the past 14 years. Her community was founded in 1988 as a contemplative, active community, serving and living among the poor and doing works of evangelization. She entered 2 days. Well, she entered on September 9th, 2001, if that gives you a context for the entrance. She made her final vows in 2008 and has served as novice directress for her community ever since, and has served on the council for the past 3 years. So we welcome Sister Agnes Mary as she talks about forming hearts to Christ as a daughter of the church.
So I was told this is, I don't think, working now, and I've got this mic. Really, it's a joy to be with all of you today, and my experience in Rome, I hadn't been as a sister, so this was my first time being back as a sister in Rome when I went, and it was such a blessing, and I had the opportunity to see the Holy Father three different times, and one of the times, I was with Sister Gloria Therese and with the Alhambra Carmelite sisters, and we had gotten a photo of our time with the Holy Father because we had gotten pretty close. And from the photo, which we had to get blown up to show where we were at in the picture, because it was really that close, and other sisters had real pictures with the Holy Father of kissing his hand and embracing him, but our picture was blown up by, actually, it was the choice of the person that worked with Observatory Romano, who decided to do it so they could see a little bit more of us. We saw that our automatic response as sisters, and for many people, when they see the Holy Father, is this, like that. So, but it was such a blessing to be with him, such a gift. And so I'm really, really delighted to be able to share with all of you some of the blessings of my time there. I was asked to share with you some of the graces of my experience staying at the Domus in Rome and how much I personally benefited as a formator from two of the talks that I attended, one by Archbishop Carballo and the other by our Holy Father, Pope Francis, both at the meeting for formators held in Rome in April 2015. So I know we have a mix here of formators and finally professed superiors and those in formation. And I feel, even though I will be addressing formators primarily here, that I think all of us can receive from these talks. They're so rich, and all of us are responsible for formation in our communities, starting from the youngest member to the most senior, I feel, by our very example, the very way we live our lives. So before I share a few reflections, I wanted to share my own personal experience of staying at the Domus for the Formators workshops in Rome. It was really through God's providence that I was sent there. So one day we were in a council meeting and we were discussing the need for ongoing formation. And I had expressed a desire to maybe go to Rome, which seemed pretty unlikely at the time. But wouldn't you know, the very next day, we had found out about the conference in Rome for formators and an additional program that the CMSWR was offering. And God just kept opening the doors. Our community is not pontifical yet, so I wasn't able to attend all of the talks at the meeting for formators. But the CMSWR was so generous in creating a program for me to experience Rome while receiving formation during the time of the larger conference. I'm especially grateful to Mother Regina Paches, who directed my time in Rome, even giving me classes one-on-one, and even acting as my personal tour guide in both Rome and Assisi. I really experienced being a daughter of the church during this time, which touched me very personally. I've always thought of myself as a daughter of the Father, but this was an experience of being a daughter of the Mother. First being sent by our own mother, Lucille, and then being mothered at the Domus, and ultimately feeling this deeper experience of being cared for by our Holy Mother, the Church. My time in Rome was also a great experience of growing in my relationship with sisters from other communities. The bonds we formed in Rome have been a great support to me personally. We are able to share deeply when we see each other again, as well as pray for one another. For those communities like my own that don't have a convent in Rome, the Domus is really a perfect place to stay. I could walk to St. Peter's Basilica every day, which I did, I think. I would also encourage any sister to take advantage of this life-changing experience of spending time among the saints in the heart of the church. The impact on my life of even just the 2 weeks that I was there was more than I could measure. So now I'd like to just highlight some points from the inspired words of Archbishop Carvalho and Pope Francis, with a few of my own personal experiences, which I hope will encourage us all as formators. At the prayer vigil for the opening of the Conference for Formators, Archbishop Carvalho shared some beautiful insights. First, speaking about our role as educators, he pointed out that the word educate comes from the Latin to draw out. So that as formators, we are to educate in the sense that we draw out, quote, everything that each person holds deepest within themselves, their limits and their potential. The limits so that they can be transformed into potential in such a way that these increase and the person reaches the full stature of Christ, end quote. Often my experience is that I have presented the gospel message and religious life to the young sisters, and it is challenging, but they desire something more and feel called on. They wouldn't have entered religious life if they didn't desire to become a saint, and a saint is someone who does God's will. We have the privilege, as mothers to these young sisters, to help them to do God's will and to reach their full potential. But God is the one who does it. Though we have the privilege of accompanying our young sisters, it is God who moves their hearts, who does the real work of formation. The Archbishop goes on to point out that God draws out all the beauty each person holds within, as well as everything that needs transforming and purifying. Isn't it good to be reminded that we're not the Savior? But he does use us as his instruments. We are constantly teaching. The image that comes to my mind for me is an apostolate we have of teaching the children in the pre-K next door their prayers, and then bringing them into the convent chapel for a time of Eucharistic adoration. You have to begin with the basics: how to make the sign of the cross, what is holy water, how to use the holy water. No, it's not necessary to put your whole hand in the holy water, Jimmy. What is a monstrance? How to genuflect? And just an aside, if there's any teachers out there that can teach me how to teach the little ones how to genuflect, I'd be most grateful. So we teach all the practicals. We help them open the door of their hearts to God. And then we bring them before Jesus truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. This is where the real education begins. He works in their hearts. He speaks to them personally. Then they share that they feel happy and safe and loved when they are with Jesus in the chapel. And this isn't something the sisters taught them. God did it. We walk them down the path, led them to the encounter, but then God does the work. It is the same for us as formators. The Archbishop encourages us to help those who enter the formation process to allow themselves to be educated by God, the educator. We should be the bridge for our young sisters, not taking the place of God, but helping them to encounter him. For me, this personally really takes the pressure off. Also knowing that I'm not alone in my ministry as formator and that I'm working with the superior of my community also helps to take the pressure off. Now in my office, I have a quote from Father Walter Chizik hanging on the bulletin board over my desk, and it daily reminds me to let God do the work. It says, "When I tried to do too much on my own, I failed." Ultimately, it's about helping the young sister find God's will by listening to his voice alongside her. The Archbishop reminds us of the beautiful words of Vita Consecrata that formation consists, quote, in progressively assimilating the sentiments of Christ toward the Father, end quote. I'll repeat that. In progressively assimilating the sentiments of Christ toward the Father. So it isn't taking on the new concepts or ideas, but conformity to Christ that is the goal of formation. And this formation never ends. This can be a challenge for us as formators who are trying to impart our way of life to our young sisters. You know, it's not easy to be a work in progress. I have to ask myself, am I still allowing myself to be formed? The name of my community alone, the Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal, is a daily challenge to me. Renewal, ongoing conversion. This is what God asks of me, even as, or maybe especially as, a formator. Our own dear Father Benedict Groeschel once wrote, if we attempt renewal without repentance and personal reform, it is not a work of God. So if we refuse this ongoing conversion in our own lives, the Archbishop says that we refuse to grow, we renounce living life to the full, a life in abundance, and ultimately being a disciple of Christ. He even goes so far as to say that as formators, we need to be committed to be continuously formed, or we should give up being formators. This is a good personal examine for us. If we as formators are seeking this constant conversion that is part of the life of every disciple of Christ, we can be confident that the young women we serve in formation will be encouraged to enter with us into this lifelong journey of being transformed by the love of Christ. The Archbishop also gives us this definition of a formator. A formator is someone who transmits an experience of life and demonstrates a concrete way of following Christ. Which that way that we follow Christ in our particular charisms, I'd like to add. Therefore, our day in, day out personal witness is so important for our young sisters. They watch the way we pray, the way we relate to one another, the way we serve in our apostolates. This example makes such an impact on them. We are also reminded by the Archbishop that if those under our care are kept dependent on us, then we are not formators. We are to lead them to a personal encounter with Jesus. Together with the young sister, I am trying to listen to what God is saying. Now, my background is nursing, and I often think of my time in the pediatric oncology unit before I was a sister, where I was with many very sick children. As a nurse, I became the mediator between the doctor and the patient at a time where the patient was very vulnerable. I was invited into their lives and the lives of their family members in a special way. As formators, we now serve as mediators between our young sisters and the divine physician to help them to hear his voice and to receive healing. And over the last 7 years that I've served as novice directress for our community, it has been my experience that no one sister or situation is ever the same because each person is unique and unrepeatable. It is the work of Jesus to change the hearts of those in formation, and all he asks of us is our cooperation. And often our most valuable contribution is our faithful prayers for those in our care. Now I'd like to transition and to share a few reflections on our Holy Father's address to formators. And as I was listening to our Holy Father's words by the kind man who was sitting in front of us, he began to translate it for us during the talk. And I was very touched by our Holy Father's words. I personally felt encouraged and consoled by our Holy Father, who really knows our experience because he had been a formator himself. Like the Archbishop, Pope Francis reminded us that formation is about forming the heart of Christ in the young person. But to be able to do this, he really encourages us to first focus on our own formation, which begins with a close friendship with Jesus. And didn't we hear so much about that from Sister Ann Shields and in all of the talks yesterday? Our own prayer life has to come first for us. As formators who often wonder why God made only 24 hours in a day, what a temptation it can be to sacrifice our time of prayer. But the reality is we should be actually praying more and not less. If it is Jesus who we want to be giving to our young sisters, it is Jesus who has to be alive within us, leading us, teaching us how to love and how to follow him. The Holy Father speaks of the importance of returning regularly to our first encounter with the Lord to uncover the place where our relationship with him began. This encounter is never forgotten, he says, but often gets buried by things, by work, by fears, even by sins and worldliness. He warns us that if we don't return to this encounter, we run the risk of standing still, not growing, or even forgetting why we've come. I know in my own life, when I am asked to give my personal witness, whether it be at the ordinary experience of encountering a person at the gas station, kind of similar to what Sister Ann Shields had shared, or giving my own personal witness to a vocation visitor, that afterwards I feel personally renewed and even reminded why it is that I am doing this. What a gift it is to remember the love and mercy of God that has changed our lives forever. In the beautiful work of formation, our Holy Father reminds us we, quote, take part in the work of the Father who forms the heart of the Son in those whom the Spirit has called. End quote. I think this really requires that we get out of the way. One of the things that can get in the way is our own brokenness. The more that we receive the healing that we need, the more effective instruments we become. A few years ago, I was offered the opportunity to attend a 3-year program in spiritual direction at the School of Spirituality in Clearwater, Florida. I have to admit, the 2 weeks seemed a lot like another novitiate, even though it was only once a year. But it's 2 weeks of class and intense prayer on scripture. I also went on a 30-day Ignatian-directed retreat. And the fruits of all this intense prayer was deeper healing and a deeper rooting in the Lord's love for me. And I know that this was a gift not just for me, but for our community and for the sisters that I serve. I have also found that the daily praying with scripture and for the grace that I need is essential for me as well. Pope Francis didn't fail to point out that sometimes the work of formation can feel like a burden. And who of us here hasn't felt the weight of the responsibility, which at times can even seem crushing? But our Holy Father really emphasized the importance of what we are doing. The mission is important, he says, but it is equally important to educate for the mission. We are helping to build the foundation for our young sisters to stand on. I love to hear our newly professed sisters come back to the novitiate after several months of living in an apostolic convent and say how grateful they are for the foundation and prayer and how it sustains them in the busyness of our life, and it has helped them to grow in a deeper spousal relationship with the Lord. Pope Francis also spoke of the need for formators to be real mothers, which requires real love. The kind of love this kind of love gives spiritual birth to our young sisters. Living together in community, we really get to know one another. How important I have found it to be that as the young sisters are being taught and difficulties come up, that I not be afraid to walk with them through the messiness of life, and that I commit to helping them to get to the root of their struggles and to find healing. I have witnessed this healing of brokenness so many times through the sacraments and in putting on the mind of Christ, as St. Paul says, through praying on the Word of God and begging for the grace that they are personally in need of to grow. And as weak as we are, God also sometimes desires to use the formator herself to show the young sister the unconditional love that helps her to get a glimpse of her infinite value in the eyes of God who has chosen her. Our young sisters must never feel that they are a burden to us. At the same time, our Holy Father encourages us to say no when we have discerned that this is God's will. Discernment is very, very important. It can't be about numbers. I often find myself asking these questions. Is the sister thriving? Is she blossoming as a person, becoming more herself? Is she formable? Does she have the capacity? Does she want this? Does God want this? I don't want to be pushing or dragging someone along, but seeking God's will for this young sister. It can also be a temptation to want so much to help bring healing to a young sister that I could spend all my time and energy focused on this one sister at the expense of all the other sisters in my care, and even at the expense of my own health. This can be an angel of light. When we do discern that a no is necessary, Pope Francis exhorts us, quote, as one accompanies the entry, accompany the exit too, so that she may find the path in life with the necessary help, end quote. The Pope shares with us that our no can be full of kindness and of charity. I felt so encouraged by our Holy Father's words of gratitude at the end of his talk and by his understanding of the struggles that come with the role we've been given. He thanked us for our humble and discreet service and for the time given to listening. How much this resonated in my heart when I think of choosing to be a listening ear to a sister in need at what seems to be like the most inconvenient time. This often ends up being actually the most grace-filled time, but it requires great patience. Our Holy Father spoke of this patience as a martyrdom. He also spoke of the pain of seeing the young sister leave after 3 or 4 years. This too is our martyrdom. But he encourages us to recognize that oftentimes what can seem like a failure becomes the formation of the formator. This too rang true with my personal experience. It is the mistakes that I've made, or what looks from the outside like a failure, which has taught me the most. I think the challenge for us is to choose to remain joyful and grateful through carrying the cross as a formator. And I'd like to end. Pope Francis leaves us with these words. May you live this ministry with joy and gratitude, with the certainty that there is nothing more beautiful in life than belonging forever and wholeheartedly to God and giving one's life to the service of one's brothers and sisters. What a great gift we have been given.
Thank you, Sister Agnes Mary. We'll just take a few moments. I'll time it up here, so you don't need to worry about that. If you'd care to write, feel free to do that. The reflection questions that Sister prepared for this talk are on the schedule for you. Just take a few moments to let her words soak in and the Holy Spirit do his thing.